Now, this is beginning to visit Mr. Gobus. Ms. Gobus, this Sunday morning, the 21st of February, 1971, Channel 1 over, this Cookie's tape. It's Jim, Suzanne, Rick here, and Cookie's here. Mr. Gobus came over to see him plow this Sunday, the 21st of February, 1971, Channel 1 over.
Miss Gilbert, just sit down. Cookie, you come over here and I'll get you right here. Maybe a little cup of coffee.
Gotta have a cup of coffee.
Sit down, Miss Gilbert.
I don't want no coffee.
How are you?
What's the matter with you? You just now getting up?
Well, I don't get up any sooner than I have to.
You can go on back to bed. We ain't missing.
Isn't that awful? Come on, sit down here, nurse.
Sit down at the table, Miss Gilbert, where we can all sit.
Well, he could sit right there. David?
You can sit over there at the end, David. We'll get everybody a drink of water here.
I haven't seen this boy in a long time.
Oh, I forgot about that. I didn't know whether you had met David or not.
No, I never met him before.
Smiles and David.
Mr. Gilbert, what is the prospects now? You think we'll ever have a garden?
Not with that ring.
That wasn't very encouraging, was it?
A little bit light?
Huh?
A light?
Light.
Is it too light, he said. Is the outfit
too light for that?
What I need.
Need to get in there with the tractor and just tear it all to pieces and then go in there with the plow.
Well, hell, anybody could do it that way.
No, they can't either.
Well, it's going to take something to cut them roots.
Out there, you got a sod of Bermuda grass out there. That's the toughest stuff in the world.
That is. Tough stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You never realize how tough it is.
No, I didn't. I had experience
with it. We worked with it.
Yeah.
We still work with it, in fact. You never get rid of it, no matter what. We can keep it down, but we don't
it. Ain't sodded like that.
No, it's not.
Sandy
like
soil, but you can kind of handle it in sandy soil.
Mm-hmm.
After you get the sod busted. But I handled it up in Georgia where you had red clay. You get it up there and get it sodded down. You got something, mister. It'll come out there and hang together for yards long.
Yeah, I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw it do that.
That's when it's bad.
And if you do get it turned even that way, it's so darn hard. You can get it down with a hair on top of it and it'll hold it up. Well, you can cut through it.
I had a place up there around the old house.
And it was sodded down about 8-10 inches. Well, you had to, that's what you had to go. You had to plow that deep to get under it.
Yeah.
To do it at all, see. Mm. But I had a good team of mules and a good plow, see.
A little bit, Matt,
and you ran out there, and I got in there and with a disc hair and tried to cut it up. Well, I kind of got it leveled down a little bit, but I never did get it cut up down in there. And I got in there and sowed it in sorghum cane seeds and brad peas. And it come a shower of rain on it right after that. And boy, they come up there, thick as hair on the dog's back. And one tried to outgrow the other, coming up through the hand. It got up about head high eventually.
Well, that.
I went in there with a Oliver mowing machine, a big team of mules, and I let the blade down before I went in there. And there. I got a start on it. I hollered at him. They'd been resting up. Yeah! Boy, they didn't know what happened. They went through there and they cut a swath, see. Well, I got back out there and I run under what I rode down back the other way and got around it. Well, you know, that was doggone as hay you ever seen. It was so thick that you couldn't even, with one of these hay rakes out there, you couldn't even get it down. It wasn't even going to ground, it's so thick.
The way I got that out,
I got a couple of guys with pitchforks going there with A-frames and just picked it up and put it on A-frame so it cured out. And then I went and hauled it and tried to put it in the barn. I just went over the hay frame on the wagon and threw a cock of it on and hauled it over there to the cows. Boy, you talk about them giving some milk now that was sweet and that Edie was talking about it.
A-frame.
Yeah.
Pyramid.
Three. To you. You would know what I was talking about. The pyramid, but you know.
That's telling them this again.
Oh, God. In other words, you got three sticks sticking up in the air, see?
Yeah.
Ground up. Like a teepee.
Yes, well, I'm not
to you Indians.
I'm not too familiar with teepee.
Well, I'll get around to it. I'll write up a dictionary on it for you.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Gilbert, you had a little stronger rig than we've got.
Oh, yeah, I had a bigger plow than that, and I had, horse out there with another horse. But that horse can pull that plow if you could get it in there for a while.
He looks like
but he'll go down, and the guy that's trying to hold that plow in the house is going down too.
A lot quicker.
What do you mean?
Now, that ain't going to hurt you because you ain't going to do that.
What do you mean going down? You mean get down in there?
You're going to white eye. In other words, you're going to poop out.
You'll make it plain, huh?
You mean just in that little garden plot?
It's never
that,
been
that
a
garden, though. Little plots like that is a thing that gets you. If you get that broke,
what?
Well, you can get in there and take all that clear out the fence there and work it.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to do it now.
Well, he could do it if he had just a little bigger rig.
No, he couldn't do it if he had a little bigger rig either. With one horse and him, because it's going to be just hard on him and be harder on the horse.
With a bigger rig?
Yeah.
Because that, you're not plowing in sand.
Well, Mr. Gilbert, what, this little bit light, for you didn't use a rig this light.
No, not for that kind of work, I didn't know.
You had a regular turn plow?
Yeah.
Well, what is this little thing? It's not a turn plow?
Well, that's a turn plow, all right, but that's for...
After you broke
piddling it. Piddling around the garden. But.
Yeah. But not this sod.
You can't sod with that. That ain't no sodden plow.
Yes. You know what?
Because out there, you've got to go deep enough to get under that Bermuda grass.
Yes.
If you go down that deep, that horse ain't going to pull it very long.
Yeah.
And the man that's trying to hold it in the ground that deep ain't going to last very long either.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, now this is sort of a serious subject, but these boys here have been reading the newspaper on that Rayford thing, and they believe everything they read.
Oh, well.
Oh.
You can believe anything that you want to. That's free country.
Yeah. So they're down there betting on the convicts.
Well, that convict stuff up there, that's a shame in a way. Another way you look at it, them convicts up there, If they didn't belong there, they wouldn't be there. If they didn't do something to get in there, they wouldn't be in there to start with. Right? Okay. But there's a lot of people in there that's in there for minor things that haven't got long to do that are in there with hardened criminals.
Yeah.
And these hardened criminals in there, they don't care. They just soon to... Oh, they don't care what happens to them, and they'll do anything to get a rope
really
started.
Criminal, you know,
so they've got them all sewed in there together.
I
see?
Can't hear one at a time now, Ms. Gilbert.
I'm sorry.
I want to hear what you say.
I didn't know I was a lot of time. Okay.
I want to hear what you say. Well, now, who is this? Who are you talking about?
Murph the Surf.
Murph the Surf?
Yeah.
He's the head of it?
No, he ain't the head of it. But he is one of them that's in there. He's a hardened criminal. They had a time putting him in there to start with. He was down around Miami here. And he's a bad apple.
Yeah.
He just don't care what the cook school keeps or not.
Yes. Or whether they get all them tractors.
But he don't give a darn who gets their heads busted. He get in there and stir the things up and knows how to take care of himself and duck, let somebody else get the heads busted. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never run across that in jail, but you saw that in the Navy.
No, I've been around quite a bit and on the outside looking in and know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, now, that lady lawyer.
Well, she's just out there to get a big name for herself. She goes up, she don't know what happened up there no more than I do or you do. You wasn't there and I wasn't there. So we don't know what happened. We can go up there and talk to them convicts, and they'll tell us their story, see?
Yeah.
It's up to us to believe them or to let go in one ear out the other. Well, she goes up there and gets the story from them, and she comes out and she says, I believe them. They're telling the truth.
Yeah. And then you read the paper, a fella reads the paper, and then they take her aside.
There's always two sides to everything. And then you got to read in the middle.
Yeah. Well, like you did then. She got no way of checking it. She just
went. No, she ain't got nothing.
She's getting but paid for that. Big money.
Everybody knows that them conditions up there are terrible. The governor knows it. He went up there and investigated. He's still on the job, and he's trying to do something about it. Well, what can he do about it?
Well, let me tell you, I've had more experience with jailers than I have with Merck to Serve. And I don't care for the jailers. They are sullen. And they are
indigent.
Biggest part of them all.
If you,
that's true.
If you could just put yourself in the jailer's position, just be a jailer for 1 week.
Yes.
Well, then you know why.
Yes.
Because they'll use every, take advantage of you in every way that you could, that you can't even think of the ways that they'd come up to take advantage of you.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta be hard and sullen and say, no, you can't have it.
You know, you talk a little like one yourself.
I tell you, after taking all them boys through the Navy, he learned to talk tough to them because they wouldn't do.
Is that right?
You get a kid in there, it wouldn't take a bath for a month. You had to do something about it.
I've worked
Believe
some
me.
Of them boys out of the brig that come around, you know. And you got to kindly use your head on how to handle them. If you're going to get anything out of them.
Yeah.
But you can't just go out and say, well, here's a Georgia buggy. It's got two hands on it. fall in the shaft there and get going. Take these rocks from over here, roll them over there, and when you get them all over there, well, put them in the buggy and roll it back over here. Well, you ain't accomplishing nothing. So the guy ain't going to roll many trips over there and back.
So?
He's going to figure out a way to cheat a little. He'll either turn the wheel bar upside down so he can't put no rocks in it or something else.
So? How you get around that, Mr. Gilbert?
Well, that's your problem.
So you.
You're going to nice. Oh no, hey, knock that off, boys. Come on through with you. Yeah. Well, boy, you see that guy sure is soft. We'll use him.
they see you coming, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. They don't. Nobody has to tell them. Well, I'm gonna tell you, I don't want to know too much, but kind of how do you take hold of a situation like that?
Well, the best way to take a hold of a situation like that is not to get in that situation. If you can stay out of it, that's the best way. And I've been pretty lucky staying out of them situations. I had boys up there, you know, and I'd have a detail, maybe 150 men lined up out there. And they'd say, well, somebody would come away and say, well, I want 20 men. I'll probably have a list of them before he tells you, see. And I know about what he's going to do. If it's going to be a wheelbar job or something like that, well, there's a way of getting around it. You see, how many of you people got driver's license?
You get them.
One step forward. Well, they think they're going to drive trucks or be soakers or something, see. And close them in and say, well, here, you're 20 men. They going down to push wheelbars or something, see. Well, then you're going to get another bunch of us. Well, they got a bunch of boats down here at the dock to clean up. They got to scrape them down, sand them down, paint them up. How many of you people know anything about sailing boats? They all step out, you know. You got another detail.
People can paint the brush and put them to work.
Paint the brush?
I had another detail, you know. So how many of you people are the quartermasters, the signalmen out there, knowing about the signals? Well, you get them, you know. They're going over here to an old ship in the back channel, and they're going to give them a chipping hammer and a wire brush. Going to red lead, see? There's always ways to get around that. You don't have to let them know what they're going to do before you send them.
They don't necessarily want to know, do they?
No, they don't want to know. They don't want to know if they get there, but then they're there.
Mr. Gillis, what is that? You know, we was talking yesterday about the haircuts they get now and the kind we used to get. You, when you were in the service, they just cut your hair. They cut them all the same way, didn't they?
Yeah. When you first went in there, I joined the Navy in 1913. That's a few years back.
Yeah.
But I always kept my hair cut pretty good anyways before I went in there. Well, we went in there, and I had, it was eight of us. I had seven boys. First enlistment, we all enlisted in Atlanta, Georgia, see. So I don't know. I talk a little louder than the rest of them or something, so they put me in charge of the bunch going over. So we got over, some of these boys had really long hair, you know, and they'll cut it. They got over there, we went down to the barber shop, next morning after we got there. So the old barber, he says, "How do you like your hair?" The one with the long hair, you know. He said, "I part it down the middle." He taken the clippers and went right down through as close as he could.
Oh.
As close as he got, the boy almost cried. The blocks had fallen off.
That's not right.
But everybody got the heads clipped then, because when you first went, your first haircut, that was free. You didn't pay for it.
Ooh,
everybody got the hair clipped off.
Yeah.
To start with, you didn't get any boogers spread from one head to the other, see?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of chance, you know, that a guy in the first placement coming in, off of the streets, is hungry and everything like that, he might have had a few boogers in his hair.
Yeah. Yeah, you know they did.
Yeah.
Boogers were right common.
Yeah, way back in those days.
Yes, sir. You know, I can remember sleeping on beds that were, you could, yeah, after you'd been in there an hour or two, you just felt like getting up and exercising.
Right.
There's just too much crawling going on.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah,
bed
bugs and everything else.
Well, that started you off where you could get under the shower bath and scrub down, put top down, see?
Yeah.
You got new clothes, it was clean, and you was free of the bugs then.
Yeah.
And then you went over and got vaccinated and the typhoid shot and everything else that went with it.
Did you,
Up again?
Yeah, let me tell you. Did you, that military haircut, that's the only kind I ever had, just about that.
Well, when
I actually never thought I was a military.
And the first cruise, well on up till in the 30s, well, they were strict on haircuts. A lot of these officers, you know, it was like the, you got to be a commander or captain while they wanted to be sanitary and military, and a lot of them come out there to inspection on Saturday morning and take the old rule, you know, and pull your hair up, see if it was more than an inch on top.
Yeah. Hello?
Determined.
There's something wrong with the cut.
Yeah,
with
the line.
Go ahead and what
do you
think?
But
that's
all
changed.
Or shaved
it more than an inch,
yeah,
on top.
Yeah. That's all changed now, though. The young fellas in the Navy now that wearing this long hair, now they're changing Navy regulations, military regulations. In the Army, Navy, Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Allowing them to wear it long. And wouldn't allow them to wear beards. They never used to allow them to wear beards.
Yeah.
Well, beards wasn't against the regulation as long as you kept them neatly trimmed, see? Well, the officers, they was to be the judges whether they was neatly trimmed or not, see? Well, you see, some of them was shaggy, you know, and
some of them shaggy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they used to go with them that way.
Right, a lot of them used to grow beards when they went south of the fleet in the wintertime, you know, and stuff like that. They get away, but they didn't care as long as it's out of the States. But when they started coming back to port, you'd see them all disappear. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to look like that. They wanted to be clean shaven.
Yeah. Now this, you were telling us, I never heard of anything like that, what you were telling us yesterday, that one officer.
Well, he was probably an officer.
Well, now, he was a rear admiral. His name was Bush.
Oh, he's that far along.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason why he wanted his hair long, he didn't have much hair. It was real thin, see?
Right,
and he wanted to... He wanted what he had left so he could cover his the old scalp up there.
Yeah.
So he didn't get no haircuts. It was down there long, you know. They didn't hang down over his collar, but he come down here and was kind of curled up, you know. And he didn't like to see the men with their hair all clipped off and the head shaved.
So now, where was that this time? When he come in there?
Well, we had done Guantanamo Bay, Cuba at that time.
But you remember Ms. Governor?
Mm-hmm.
What was that he was telling us yesterday?
Oh, I think it was about the captain that made the inspection. And the admiral was with him, wasn't it? And he come down there and
asked him, he was,
why the boy's head.
He was leaving the ship. He was going see if our ship was flagship. He was stationed on our ship.
Yeah.
So he had all the ships in the division. He'd go on there and make inspection tours on them. So he was leaving the ship on official call. And naturally, everybody was down there to pipe him over the side. All these boys, the side boys, they had their hair all clipped off of the head shaved. Bolton mate, the bugler. So he got out there just before he started through there. He looked up and he wheeled around the old man. He says, "Captain, where have the men the haircuts are short?" The old man stood up there like a ramrod. Sanitary, military. The man stomped his foot and says, "Do not. Well, boy, I don't want to see any more of it aboard this ship while I'm on." That ended that.
I didn't get all that, Mr. Gillis. Say that again. He was walking up there inspecting them.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wasn't walking up there. He was leaving the ship. You got six men lined up over here. You got six men over here. You got a boatswain mate over here. You got a bugler right back of him. The old man's coming down the deck. Now he gets up here. Before he goes to the gangway, he looks up here and sees them, and he wheels around to the old man. That's all there was to it.
Now, what did you see? What did you see?
Well, I just told you.
I'm telling you again.
I ain't chewing my tobacco but once this morning.
If you had it.
Did Mr. Gilbert see them coals?
No, but
hey,
we're showing to him.
You know I got a doctor over there that I go to on NAS. I ought to take you over there.
You're welcome to it, Mr. Gilbert. Thank you.
Yeah. He's got a little gun over there. Got a hose to a pan of water, and he got a plunger on that, and he sticks that in your head. Boy, that's what you need.
I don't know that it's exactly my hearing that is
impaired. I know, because I had it used on mine, and I couldn't hear.
Sometimes I think it's not my hearing that's impaired. It's a little more serious than that.
We better go see them colts and get home.
Yeah.
I imagine
yeah.
This is going to be a lot of trouble with that dinner.
I got a fishing boat.
They got the colts up.
This town went over, and the end of the visit, Mr. Gilbert, Ms. Gilbert, and Jim and Suzanne, and Rick Reynolds. This And the boys, the children, Mr. Gilbert's grandchildren, this Sunday the 21st of February 1971, this is Cookie's reel and a copy of Mr. Gilbert's tape. This is channel one over Cookie's tape. Mr. Gilbert, Cookie's here, and Jim, Suzanne, Rick, and Samoa, this Sunday, the 21st of February, 1971, channel one over, around 400, 350, 400.